A lot of this can obviously refer to events of the day. And that's a very powerful expression, right there. V'yotza mibesoy, Klal Yisrael, they left Hashem's home, the Niskar Hadelas. I remember I was in shul on the night when the shul, where I dav and I hang out a lot, where the shul shut down. When I give the shir for, again, at night in 7:15, where we learn a night Chumash and Siddur. So in that shul, I say the shir in the shul. I say the shir in the kitchen. They have there on the side, in the back there, a kitchen. I close the door so I can have privacy. The rabbi lets me do so. That shul, I hang out a lot, and I was there the night when the rabbi shut it down. He said, "At Kan, we're closing the shul." And he said to a person there, "Could you please make a sign? Write a sign to put on the front door that the shul is closed." And the person said to the rabbi, "What should I write?" And the rabbi, I never heard the rabbi say this, I don't know what to write. The rabbi knows everything. Anytime I ask the rabbi a question, he tells me the answer. Never had a time when I asked the rabbi a question, he tells me, "I don't know, I have to think about it, blah, blah, blah." The rabbi, he knows his stuff inside out. And I never heard him say those words. He says, "I don't know. What could you possibly write on a piece of paper and put on the door to indicate that the shul is closed? Like, what words, what could you possibly write?" And he said, "You write something, and then we'll work with it." And I remember I was watching, he wrote something, and the rabbi said, "It's too much. You don't need to write, you're writing too much. Let's cut it down to that. I was so impressed with what happened, I took a picture. After they hung up the sign outside the shul, I took a picture. I have it on my phone somewhere. I took a picture because that whole scene between the rabbi and the person that he was speaking to of the emotional experience of closing the shul and writing a sign that the shul is closed was so powerful. Like, what could you possibly write? And the whole give and take. And then the rabbi, basically, he didn't like what he wrote, and he cut it down, this, that, until they found him with a very simple nusach. And then I thought about it a lot, and it's a chaval that, you know, if I had the time, it's a ridiculous thing to do, I wish someone would have gone around to every single shul in the world and take a picture of the sign that says the shul is closed and publish a book. Publish a picture of the sign of every single shul in the world. You get a PhD in analyzing the nusach, what people wrote on that sign. Some people didn't give it any thought, but even not giving it thought, your subconscious thoughts. I mean, even a person, just write a sign, shul is closed. Even that itself is a limud. What was the subconscious thoughts of the people who wrote this sign? How do they relate to the depth, the meaning of closing a shul? How do you put up a sign? What do you write? And I'll tell you one thing, it really, really freaked me out. I was, you know, lately getting very angry at certain things. I couldn't believe this. It really goes to show people, what they value in life. There was a shul, you know what they wrote at the sign? The sign said, "Gone fishing." Gone fishing. That was the sign. There was a shul, the sign said, "Gone fishing." That was the sign. Gone fishing. I mean, come on. That's what you write. Isn't that sad? It's very sad. And I saw that, I had a flashback to the rabbi of my shul, who's a very holy person. And like you know, he was so disturbed, he couldn't even write the sign. And he couldn't deal with it. And to go make a joke out of it? To make a joke, gone fishing? That's the song you put on the shul, the shul, the shul, the shul's closed, gone fishing?
What they think of that shul, the seriousness of that shul. Yeah.
It's shocking, right? It's just shocking. Halavai. And the only thing where I did get a chance, because I did see a little thing. There was during Corona, there were a lot of videos, a billion videos, all these different promotional videos. But there was a video that someone put out. I don't know what, I don't remember what it was for, but Guy Taki, he went around. He went around in his neighborhood, and maybe it was Lakewood? I think it was in Lakewood. He went around to maybe about 10, 15 shuls. It was a video, and he showed the sign. He actually showed the sign of about only a few shuls, 10, 15 shuls. He was trying to make another point for something else. And it really grabbed me to see those signs. And you really see, you see a lot. You see a whole person, whoever wrote that sign, expressed themselves in a way that really opened up you to themselves, to how seriously they take this curse of all the shul shutting down because of a magefa, because of what's going on over here. V'yotza mi beisoy v'niskar hadelas. Gone fishing? Are you kidding? Are you crazy? That's what you write about a shul? Gone fishing? It's a joke? Okay? Unbelievable. V'yotza mi beisoy v'niskar hadelas. It's all Baruch Hashem. It's over. There are no signs anymore. But, you know, it was a lost opportunity for someone to go and to capture every single shul, the nusach that was on that sign. It would have been a real something you can study for generations.
By the way, is a pasuk in Torah.
V'yatza v'hoysa. V'yatza v'hoysa l'ish acher.
No, she cannot go to ish acher.
Right.
Because Am Yisrael belongs to Hashem. There's no ish acher.
There's no one else to go to. There's no one, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, now that's just one idea. That doubt, this v'niskar hadelas, I think it's to think about that. It's too big, it's a lost opportunity. Okay, then it goes on. Okay, I'm not going to go through the whole nusach. It's going to take a very long time to go through the nusach. But basically, over here, in this kina, we write about the night. Now, towards the end, it's very important. At the end of the kina, it says, Bilel zeh, eru bo chamesh me'oirois. Okay, it says over here on this night, five tragedies occurred on this. That's a very important thing. Five tragedies. What the five tragedies are, obviously, the Meraglim, the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, Beitar, and Tzion Soda Techoresh. Tzion was plowed over as a field. Those are the five. That's a Gemara, and that's what it sets the tone. Belel ze eru boy chamesh me'oyrais. Now, what's interesting is it didn't really take place at night. Why does it say Bilel Zeh? It wasn't at night. Sia in Sodas Sechoresh wasn't at night, it was by day. The Bayis Rishon was not at night, it was by day. It was towards the afternoon that it was destroyed. The only thing that really happened at night was the Meraglim. I don't know the answer. But Gozal Ovois Bifroya Perois, Vedovkabot Saris Rabbis Verois, Yom Muchonhoi Bifkoya Pergois. And it says something more. It says over here that because this day was designated, these five terrible tragedies, this day has been designated as a day of tragedy. Yoy muchun hoya bifkoya pigois, to be struck by misfortunes. Vehemid hoye veherim kol zivois. Hashem allowed the enemy to stand, and he raised the sound of our cries. Kum ki zeh hayoy masha amar Hashem. Rise, arise. Now, what does that mean exactly? Kum. Ki zeh hayoy masha amar Hashem. I'm not sure what he means by that. Kum, belel zeh yiv koyun v'yelilu vonai. That's very important, this last part of the kina, because in history, Tisha B'Av,
which kina are you?
Kina Gimel, the end of Kina Gimel, at night. Kina Gimel, 3. The last section of the third kina. This day is Muchon Hoya Bifkoya Pigois, a day that's designated to be struck by misfortunes. We know that World War I began on Tisha B'Av. We know as a fact the expulsion, the Jews were expelled from Spain on Tisha B'Av. We know that the final solution was signed. What city, you know this better than me, was signed officially the date that they signed the meeting in the secret island. Does anyone know the name of the location where Hitler met with all his henchmen? Hitler met with all of his people in a secret meeting in a certain secluded area to discuss the final solution. The date was really Erev Tisha B'Av, but people take note that the conversation lasted until the end of the day, to the evening, and it was very likely that the final solution took place mamish Lel Tisha B'Av. So Lel Tisha B'Av, it's a hashkocha. I mean, it's just beyond belief that all of these horrible events. What's the chances all these horrible events should take place on Tisha B'Av? And by the way, also, I read somewhere very interestingly is that we say this Bayis Sheni took place on Tisha B'Av. There is no historical proof to that. This that we say that the Bayis Sheni was destroyed on Tisha B'Av is only a Mesorah. It's only a tradition. There's nothing in on record to actually match that to be an established fact. The records obviously were very weak, though it was very weak, and during the Churban everything was totally didn't know what was going on altogether, but it's based on this Yoy Mukhan. If we know as a fact that the Bayis Rishon was destroyed on Tisha B'Av, and we know as a fact that the Meraglim, and we know as a fact, I think the Tzion Sadat Sechoresh, is somehow there's a Mesorah that this is a Yom Muchon, and if the Bayis Sheni was destroyed, it had to have been that it was destroyed on Tisha B'Av, like the Bayis Rishon and the other tragedies. And again, you can't deny the fact that the Jews were expelled. That was one of the most catastrophic events in Jewish history. The expulsion of Jews from Spain, we discussed the ramifications of what that meant for Klal Yisrael, of what happened, is beyond belief. On Tisha B'Av, 1492, August 2nd, 1492, which is Tisha B'Av, is beyond belief, and that's documented. And the final solution was a fact, it's documented, it was signed Erev Tisha B'Av. And if they went into the evening, the conversations and discussion went into the evening, it means that Mamish happened on Tisha B'Av. Yoim Muchon Hoya Bifkoya Pegois. Very frightening expression. One more thing before we really pick up speed, and that is a Yisoid from Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik. This is his Yisoid, he gets full credit for this. And this is his property, this chiddush. No one says this but him. And many people have developed, but it's mamish, his property. Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik, by the way, he was probably the first in America, probably ever, to actually make kinos what it is today. The whole Klal Yisrael, all its programs, who's the father, the great-great-grandfather of all the programs today in Klal Yisrael? Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik, Yosef Dov Soloveitchik Halevi, from Boston, Rosh HaYeshiva of Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, Yeshiva University. Every year in Boston, he led kinnis. He gave a shir the entire day. And people would fly in from all over the world to listen, to learn from his chidushim, his insight. And I heard Rabbi Whale from the OU, he said that Rabbi Yoshe Ber did not prepare one word for this. He didn't prepare. He sat down, and he learned the kinnis on the spot, no preparation. It just came out. It just was an expression of his neshama's whole life experience. Those are the best shiurim, Rabbi Isai. When you don't prepare, I'll tell you two things about shiurim. On the one hand, I don't want to go off on tangents too long, but I'll tell you two things that are very important to appreciate about Rav Yoshe Ber, where we all came from. I once heard a rabbi say, when do you know, Rabbi Mayevsky, you'll get a real laugh out of this. When does a rabbi know it's time to retire? When does he know, now it's time to call it quits? So here's the answer. Rabbi always prepares for his sermons, always. You got to be out of your mind to get up and give a drasha without preparing. Yeah, that's not the way it goes. But rabbis are very busy. There's always emergencies, this, that. You get busy. So sometimes you can't prepare. You got to wing it. So rabbi gets up and he wings his drasha, he wings his shir, and he gets away with it. Okay, very good. He gets away with it. 1 second, please. Okay, sorry about that. So rabbi, sometimes he wings his shir, he gets away with it. But when he steps down from the podium, he says to himself, "Whew, that was a close call. That was a close call. I didn't prepare one word. Balabatim, I hope they didn't realize I didn't prepare. I winged it. It's a close call." And that happens every so often. Then it starts happening more and more. And then the rabbi gets to the point where he doesn't prepare. He gets up to the podium, he gives a drasha, and he steps down from the podium and he says, "Wow, that was a really great drasha." When you get to that point where you don't prepare and you walk down and you say, "That was really great. It was one of my best drushas," then you know it's time to call it quits. Mitzach, yeah.
Yeah, you had started by speaking about this paragraph that the five tragedies did not necessarily occur at night. And it's not necessary for them to have occurred at night because the Piyut is trying to convey an image of night meaning danger and all the...
You want to say it's a metaphor.
Sad things. I do, because when it ends with Hayom, that's from the perspective of the Goy. Hey, this is our day. It's not...
I didn't appreciate what you're saying, something very profound. I never saw that. That the last line is the word Hayoim. And Hayoim, you're suggesting, I mean, you're contradicting yourself, is L'umas, the Lel, the night. I hear what you're saying. Okay, I hear what you're saying. You say that the Lel over here means that this dark time. Lel doesn't necessarily mean literally night. It means during this dark time. And
yeah.
But
we speak of the dark,
the darkness,
dark
right.
Night of Galah.
The choshech al pnei sohaim. Right, but it also, remember, we say this kina only at night, because at night it's belel zeh. I mean, that's belel zeh. So we're saying that the nighttime is a metaphor also. The night is a metaphor for the darkness. Okay, I accept. Okay, but going back, but on the other hand, Rabbi Yisai, even though it's time for the rabbi to call the quits, many times, sometimes the best things you ever say, they just come inspiration on the spot without preparing. So it's a double-edged sword. The best moments in life are the moments you don't prepare for. But if your whole life is without preparation, it's time to call it quits. It's a double-edged sword. The reason why, I really believe, the reason why Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik is a legend in the world of kinos, and anyone that doesn't acknowledge that he is the grandfather of all the kinos is just ignorant of life, is what Rabbi Weil said, is that he didn't prepare one word for kinnis. He came there, he sat down in shul every year on Tisha B'Av in Onset. I think this was called Onset, Massachusetts. Can't even pronounce that word. In Onset, he sat down there and he just let his soul pour out. And the stuff that came out was off the charts, was brilliant. And it's gone down as like the classic things people don't even realize. They're saying Chidushim from Yosher Ber, they all come from him. And one of the things that he says, that he repeats himself, that he says, is that Bitseisi, that's Lo Hagdom, I'm going to tell you now. Bitseisi Mimitzrayim, Bitseisi Mirusholayim. There is an enormous amount of emphasis in Tisha B'Av contrasting Yitzias Mitzrayim with Yitzias Yerushalayim, the beginning of our nation, and Rachmana Litzlan, a time when we had a Yerida Litzarech Aliyah, when we left Yerushalayim, and on the night of Pesach, what do? There's a mitzvah of Vihigadita Levincha Bayoim Hahulemar. You sit in the house around your table, and your children sit with you, together with you. No, I always give you the, I tell you this vart, is that there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. A father, if he got it, there's a mitzvah of Vishinantam Levonecha. So how come parents send their children to yeshivas? You have a mitzvah to teach your children Torah, so keep them home, homeschool them, and every day sit and learn with them Gemara, learn with them Chumash, learn with them Tanakh, teach them grammar. If you don't know it, so learn it yourself. How come no one does? How everyone sends their children to yeshiva? What's the answer? They can do it much better than me. That's the answer. I can't. I don't know. I don't know this stuff. I don't know Diktuk. I don't know Chumash. I don't know Tanakh. Hopefully my children will turn out better than me. I send them to a yeshiva. They can do it better than me. So they'll be my shliach to do the mitzvah of Yigarta Levincha, of Vishinantam Levonecha. Right? Isn't that the way the world works? The yeshivas can do it better. They have chaverim, they have an environment, they have trips, they have kumzits, and they have a this and they have a that. They'll do it good. So how come when it comes to Lil Seder, and there's a mitzvah deraisa, v'higadita levincha b'yomuhu leim b'avurza asa shem li b'tseisi b'mitzrayim, how come you never heard a parent say, you know, my child, across the street, that fellow, he really has a good Seder. Why don't you go to him for the Seder? He'll do it better than me. Go across the street. They have better food. He's much more dynamic. He's a much bigger Talmud Chacham. He'll be Mekayim the Mitzvah. He'll be my Shliach to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. V'igarata levincha b'yom ahu leim b'avur zeh. Just like when it comes to yeshiva, you send your kid to yeshiva, v'shinantam levinecha, so send your kid across the street to someone who will do a better job than you. You can do the job. There are people that can do better than you.
Then this year, many people did it. They couldn't go with together with their children. Anyway.
Okay, but the children sat at home. Fine, but the children didn't go other places either. Everyone sat home. What's the answer? That's not the way it works. When it comes to the mitzvah, the gadita levincha b'yoyim ahu leim b'avur ze asar shem li b'tzeisi mimitzrayim, you do it yourself. That's the way it is. Why is it like that? I don't know, but that's how it is. It's a mitzvah on the bais. Karm Pesach is v'ikulochem se ish. I forgot the pasuk. It says in se labois. There's a din in the bais. That's the way it is. The v'yavarti b'layla zeh loyseitze ish mi Pesach beisoy. It's a din in the mishpocha. You don't go to the neighbor, even if the neighbor can do a better job. So what? You, the father, you do it yourself. So Rabbi Yosher ben Soloveitchik said, there's a din v'higadta levincha on the Churban Beis HaMikdash, equivalent to the din v'higadta levincha on Yitzias Mitzrayim. This kina says it all, and the other kinas say the same thing. Belel zayif koyun v'yelilu vonai. Who's speaking here? Who is the speaker? Mi medaber, mi omar el mi. The father is speaking. Who is he speaking to? His children are sitting around in a circle. You sit down on the floor, and you take all of your children, just like you take all of your children on the night of Pesach, and they sit around the table, and you tell the children, let me tell you the story of the Exodus. Lel Tisha B'Av. It's exactly the same thing. You sit down, but instead of sitting down at your dining room table with all of your expensive kalim, you sit down on the floor and you take all of your children, they sit around you, and you say to your children, let me tell you the story of Bitseisi Mirushalayim. Bilel Zeh, you're speaking. Yivkoyun v'yelilu vonai. On this night, you should cry. You should wail, my children. There's a din v'higadita, just like there's a din v'higadita on the Leil Seder. Isn't that out of the ballpark home run? This is like an incredible, incredible yisoid in a yismamish, a yisoid in Tisha B'Av. A yisoid in Tisha B'Av, it's the duty of a father to directly transmit, to convey the Churban to his children, equivalent to the duty a father has to convey the message of Yitzias Mitzrayim Belel Pesach.
Rabbi, that's why the first day Pesach always comes after the Shabbat.
Correct. Exactly. There's a relationship. The whole thing, all the relationships, there are many, many connections between the two. And it's mamish explicit. And he's the one who revealed this to us. It's explicit in the kinos. The one that's talking here is Bilel Zayivka Yun Vidiye Liluvonai, my children. It's Lel Tisha B'Av. You sit down with your children, you talk to them, you tell them exactly what happened. Okay, so what have we done over here in this kina? This kina is Lel, Rav Mecholas taught us Lel is a metaphor. It's a metaphor for the dark times. The dark times, the end of the kina says there are five things that happened, and because of these five things, it's a yom muchon, it's a har, it's a day that's muchon leporonus for all generations, as we've seen. Rachman Lutzlan, a lot of terrible things happen on Tisha B'Av. We learned over here what it says, this horrible thing, the Yatza'a mi Beisoy, Klal Yisrael, they left their bias, the Niskar Hadeles. That's extremely relevant for this year. This year, those words, they leap off the page. What do you write? Think about, if you were a rabbi, what would you write on the door of your shul? What would you write? What were the words you would put on your shul? Think about that. And this other idea which Rav Mechol enlightened us to is the last line, Kum ki zeh hayoim asher omar Hashem. What does that mean? I don't know what that means exactly. But one thing is certainly bizarre, it says hayoim. Hayoim stands in contrast to the word belel that we've been using all along here in the Kines. Okay, now we come to Kina Dalet. Kina Dalet is repeated twice. It's said by day, at night. And then it's said again by day, it's the last kina of the day. Why is this kina repeated twice? I don't know. I really don't know why this kina was selected repeated twice. It's a classic. It's based upon a perek in Sefer Yecheskel, in Yecheskel perek Chof Gimel, where there is a conversation between two women. There are two women who are married to the same man. One woman, her name is Oholah, and the other woman is Oholivah. And they're married to the same person. Both of them have committed adultery. And they've both been punished. And they're commiserating with each other. They're commiserating with each other and they're saying, oh, you know what happened to me? I did Averos and I was punished. I was caught and I was punished. And my punishment, whoo, it was so bad, much worse than yours. And the other woman, Oholivah, says, no, you got it wrong. I was punished worse than yours. Each one has elements of punishment which are unique. Oholah is a reference to the Malchus of Yisrael, the Aseres HaShvatim. Oholah is short for Oihel Shelah, her tent. They rebelled. The Aseres HaShvatim made for themselves their own temple in Basel and Don. They erected the Egle HaZohav, something that Hashem never told them to do. Oihel Shelah, her tent. Oholivah is Nutrikin Oihel Sheli Ba. The tent that my sanctuary is Ba, that is the Malchus of Yehuda. Yehuda and Binyamin. That's each one here in this, and they have a conversation. Oholah, the Aseres HaShvatim says, we were worse because we were exiled 130 years before you were exiled, and we never came back. We were with goners, dispersed for good. Who says we'll ever come back? That's the big mystery. Will the Aseres HaShvatim, will they ever return? Did some of them return, now return? What a churban, we're gone. We lost that, the whole Golus. Even if they're going to come back, look at the opportunity they lost. The whole last 1,950 years. This year, by the way, is exactly, nothing is exact, but according to our calculation, at least, I don't know, 1,950 years. When did the Churban happen? The Churban took place in the year 70. Did it really take place in the year 70? Not necessarily. Some will tell you it took place in the year 69, and some will tell you it took place in the year 71. So no one really knows anything, but the number they throw around in the history books is the number 70.
Well, the difference in 1 year was only because the calendar begin with year one or year zero. That's the reason.
Okay, whatever. I don't know. I'm not familiar with this whole topic, right? And also, there's another question, is that are all the years really there? When we count, even the Goyim, they count 2020. Really? Is there exactly 2020 years since year zero? Did somebody play with the calendar? Did someone add years? Did someone subtract years? There's been a lot of manipulation that's been going on in the last 2,000 years. So we're really a little bit vague on exact dates. But if we throw around the number 70 and this year is 2020, that means this year is 1,950 years since the Churban. By the way, there's a minhag. There's a minhag, time-honored minhag, is that you're supposed to announce before the kinos. The Chasam Sofer did this, other Gedolim did this, before the kinos, supposed to get up and announce the year. Rabbi Yisai, it's been 1,950 years since the Churban. There's such a minhag. You're supposed to announce the number of years. Kedai to reflect upon the number. It's a round number. It's a very significant number. 1,000. We're now entering the last 50, the last Yovel of 2,000 years. I mean, I don't know what all that means. What's the significance of all these numbers? I have no idea. And like I said, who says these numbers are anyway accurate? But terrible tragedy of Ohola is they went into exile and they never came back. They're gone. Ohaliva says in this kina that it was better for you that way. Because look what happened to us. We went into exile, but we came back. And when we came back, and this is really shocking. It really bothers me, disturbs me, this whole kina, and I don't really understand. We came back, but was it really good to come back? Maybe it would have been better not to come back. Because when we came back, we just came back to suffer more. We came back. During the Bayis Sheni, there was terrible tragedies. After the Churban Bayis Sheni, we're in Golus now for 1,950 years, and there's no end to the suffering. So who you think you suffered more because you disappeared? Maybe disappearing is better than not disappearing. We're just suffering. One tragedy after the next. Now to me, I mean, it's easy for me to say, right? But like, at least you're alive. At least you're around, right? So I really have difficulty comprehending the argument of Ohaliva. Ohaliva, if you look over here, in the Kina, Meshiva Ohaliva, okay, it's the second big paragraph. She responds to Ohola. Ani chei nekashti. I was crooked. I committed crimes. Uvaluf nurai keholo bogadati. And in my youth, and valuf nurai means the master of my youth. Okay, the master means my husband. Hashem is my husband. Keholo bogadati. I also did avarice like you. But doimi oholo ki ye goini zocharti. Quiet. Oholo, silent. Don't complain. I suffered a lot more than you. Ki yigoni zocharti, no dadit at achas. You only went into exile once. But I, Ohaliva, the rabois, no daditi. I moved around, no dadit means to move around, many times. Hine biara kazdim pamayim lil kadati. You were exiled once by Sancheirif. I suffer from Ashur after you were exiled twice. They came to clap us twice. Ushviya aniel lebavel yati. Then I was taken to Bavel by Nebuchadnezzar. V'nishaf ha'heichol asherboy nichbadati. And then he destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. Uleshiv mshana bebavel nifkati. And even though 70 years later Hashem remembered us. V'shafti l'tzion oid v'heichol yosadati. Gam zoisa pa me'ad lo yamadati. I didn't last long in the Bayis Sheni when I came back. Ad likochani edoim. After 420 years, Edom came for us to destroy us. Uchemat ovadati, I was almost destroyed. The alkol harotzai snofetzu hamoinai. And I was dispersed throughout all of the nations of the world where we dispersed. And that's it. So I don't understand this. At the end of the day, who's around to talk about this? Us. The only one that's around today to talk about this, Ohaliva. Ohala is gone. Ohaliva is still around. So what is Ohaliva complaining about? How can Ohaliva say to Ohala, Doimi, quiet, I suffered more than you? I don't have an answer. obviously there's something very deep here going on. And by the way, the question over here is on the Kina. The question is on Yechezkel, because this is just lifted and rewritten from Perek Chaf Gimel in Sefer Yechezkel, which discussed this conversation between Ohalah and Haliva, who suffered more. Okay, that's Shoimrein. And then, after that...
It reminds like two old women sit down, and each one tells about her tzores.
Exactly.
And this one, and the third one says, "Hey, you suffer, I don't suffer, but my life is wonderful." You know, it's kind of talking to two women.
Exactly. Then the end of this kina, the reason why, you know why we probably say this kina, it's very simple, why we say this kina twice. We end off with this kina on by Tisha B'Av by day, because the end of the kina is spectacular. It's spectacular, the words of comfort. Most of the kinas are not, there's not comfort. They're all very, very disturbing. But the end of this kina is a prayer. Hachoymel al dal chamol al dalusim. The one that has compassion upon the poor, have compassion al dalusim on their poverty. Urei shim imoisam, look at their desolation, v'arich galusim, the length of the galus. Al tiksef ad mo'oy, do not be angry a lot. Urei shiflusim, look at their lowliness. V'ad, v'al lo'ad tiskar, v'arim, do not remember forever their sins. V'sichlusim, their foolishness. Now this is very relevant for this year. This is critical for this year. Here we beg Hashem, refor no es shivram, heal their wounds. Okay, Corona is really gone out of control. In Eretz Yisrael, they ran out of beds. You read the news? They ran out of beds in the hospitals. They mamish don't have beds. This was a whole fear of the health industry cannot handle. It's totally out of control. And in the country, United States, outside of New York, it's record high numbers of people dying. And you know, here we come to Tisha B'Av. This is serious business. And no one knows what's good in the future. No one knows if he can get it a second time. Everyone is a pachat pachadim. If a person can get it again, if we're immune to it, if once we got it. And here is an opportunity twice on Tisha B'Av to be mevakesh Hashem, refor no es shivram, heal their wounds, v'nachem avelusam. Okay, how many people died? It's not real the number of people who died. Console them for their bereavement. Ki atos, this is a very beautiful expression, the next line. Ki atos sirim viata eyolusam, you are their hope. You can't put your hope in Fauci. If he can't even pitch a ball, you think he's going to find a solution for us? Go ask any child to go pitch, to go throw a baseball. No, he can't even pitch a baseball. You think he's going to be able to find a solution?
He thinks they probably won't last.
Ki ata sivram, only you, Hashem. We've all come to that realization that it's amazing. After all this time, this thing has been going on since at least January, February. The greatest minds of the world are sitting the whole day, nonstop, working on this, and the results are zero. As of now, there is no vaccine, there is no medicine, no one knows nothing. No one can explain to you why this, why that. After all this time, January, February, March, April, May, June, July, we're almost up to August already, 7 full months, zero. The greatest, most brilliant minds in the world, 24/7, nothing. Nothing to show for all of their work, and probably trillions of dollars have been spent on trying to figure out what's going on. There's not an answer to even one simple question. You can't get an answer for. So who are you going to hope in?
They're all blaming Trump.
Who are you going to hope in? Ki ata, only you, Hashem, sivram ve'ata e'yolusam. You are their hope and you are their strength. How true are these words? Unbelievable. This line over here leaps off the page this year for our matzif. A mispat chodosh. You have to extract from the kina new meaning that's relevant to the times, to the tzaris that we're in. Chadesh yomeinu kimei kadmonai. Go look at the, every time, you know, it's like so really sick. Every time I look at a picture now, an old picture, I say, oh wow, look at that. There's no mask. There's no social distancing. I can't believe this. You go look at the Sima Shas, picture of Sima Shas. Wow, look at that. Look at, no one's afraid. No one's afraid to get close to someone else. It's like so sick. We've become so brainwashed, so damaged. When we look at the past, it's like you can't even comprehend. Wow, we lived in, it was only a few months ago. Chadesh yomeinu mevakesh Hashem to renew our days kimei kadmonai. Kino amecha bone Yerushalayim Hashem, like you Hashem said, you will rebuild Yerushalayim. Okay, that is kina hey. That was kina dalid, ohola oholiva ohel shelah, or oil sheliba. That's oholiva, the conversation, the mystery of what oholiva is complaining about relative to ohola, and the beautiful end. The end is magnificent, and it's very relevant to our time, and that's probably the reason why it was selected to be the conclusion of the kina. It's not Elitzion. Elitzion is not the last kina. Elitzion is the second to last kina. After we recite Elitzion, we then recite Shomrayim. We repeat Shomrayim. Okay, then at night there's one more kina, and I guess because it's at night, you can see the stars. And you can take out your microscope, you can hear, like, and you can see the planets, the mazolos. This is way over my head, this type of kina. But this kina is one thing that's really, there's one thing that's absolutely magnificent about this kina, but we'll get that in a moment. But first thing over here, that's kina. We go through the 12 mazolos. You know the mazolos? I don't know anything. This is, I never really connected to this type of stuff. This stuff is, I don't know, I just... Some people have a hard time with certain, this is very hard for me to connect to. The Tole, the Shar, the Toimim, the Sartan. What's Sartan? What's a crab? What's a crab? A fish? A lobster?
Crab.
Okay, a lobster? They have
a crab.
Aryeh.
Cancer is a crab. And that's why the word for cancer in modern Hebrew is Sartan.
Sartan, correct. Aryeh, a lion. Besula, Moznayim, Akrov, Keshes, Gidi, Dili, Dogim. We know that. Purim, Chodesh Adar, the Mazel Dogim. Okay, these are things which is an art to have, it's a specialty to really understand all of these, the mazolos. In heaven, there are constellations. Every month has its unique constellation. And in this kina, let's just take one paragraph. Okay, I'll take the Samach. And by the way, of course, everything is in the Aleph Beis. I'm not going to even go through that because that's over my head. The Aleph Beis, all these complex sequences of the Aleph Beis, backwards and forwards, Tashrak or Atbash. This is over my little head. But just look at, like, let's read one. Samach. Samach is Sibev Moznayim Uvikesh Techina. I just took this at random. Sibev means tilt the scales. It's poetic. Tilt the scales. And beseech with supplication. Ki nivchar lomoy mavis michayim. We ask Hashem to tip the scales in our favor, because if you don't do so, we're getting to a point where we can't live anymore. Ki nivchar lomoy, because the Jewish people are suffering so much. Mavis michayim, they've chosen for themselves death more than life. That is how bad it's gotten. So the mechaber of the kina, who wrote this kina? Who's the mechaber of the kina? I'm not so sure. It's the Kalir. I don't think it was the. I don't know who wrote this kina. I don't know. Okay, it doesn't say who wrote this kina in the Art School edition. Maybe in other editions it does say, but whoever wrote this kina is begging Hashem that it should tip the scales in heaven in our favor, because if you don't do so very quickly, there's not going to be a Jewish people left, because the Jewish people are suffering to such a degree where they have chosen death over life. Now that's poetic, but in the poetry, he used the word Moznayim. and Moznayim happen to be the mazel of which month? Tishrei. The mazel of Tishrei. You go into a shul, you look in the Urna Kodesh, they'll always have scales. Why are there scales? Why there are scales in the Urna Kodesh?
It says here, it says in one of mine, I mean, I have so many different keynotes, but it says the Ibn Ezra wrote this.
Ibn Ezra, fantastic. So the Ibn Ezra wrote this kina. Ibn Ezra, he's telling us over here that he's being mispallel. Tip the scales in their favor, because if you don't do so, they're going to go out of the mind. And they use the word Moznayim, because Moznayim is the mazel of Tishrei, and he goes through the whole kina. He's going through the 12 months of the year. He's taking the word of the mazel, and he is delicately inserting it into this tapestry that he has presented, a poetic description of the tzara with all the mazalas. What's the message here of this kina? Is that Chazal said, what's the deeper message? Chazal tell us that ein mazel, one second, I have to mute everyone because there's some background noise. And then I have to unmute myself afterwards. Ein mazel Yisrael. Chazal tell us, Klal Yisrael is not subject to mazel. Vayoytze oiso hachutza. Say me, it's like Nina Shalacha. But why are we not subject to mazel? Chazal said, because the koyach of tefillah allows us to break out of our mazel. But in order for the koyach of tefillah to be effective, potent, you need the base tefillah. What is the base tefillah? The base HaMikdash. Ki basi, base tefillah, Yikore l'chol ho'amim. So if there's no base tefillah, then guess what? The default is you fall back to the mazel. And the mazel of Klal Yisrael is not good. Klal Yisrael needs to break out of their mazel. We need mazel toiv. We need good mazel. And the way we have to break out of our mazel is through the koyach of tefillah. And we need the base HaMikdash. And Bilel Zeh, when the base HaMikdash has been destroyed, Rachmana Litzlan, we're falling back into the mazel, and you know who's mourning? We're not the only ones who are mourning. The mazel is also mourning, because the mazel realizes you guys are in a lot of trouble. You're gonna rely upon us for your success. You're in a lot of trouble. So the mazel is also mourning, because we need that Mikdash to break out of the mazel. Now, besides the beauty, that's the beauty of this king that goes through. Yeah, I can't go through the whole thing, obviously. I don't know myself. It's a little over my head, this type of stuff. But there's one thing that really, really blew my mind. I never knew anything, but this expression. In the beginning, before he starts with the mazalites, he has a whole section here. He doesn't go into the mazalites immediately. He takes time until he starts the mazalites with toleh. And in the beginning, when he gets the letter Vav, he writes, the Kol Hator Nishma Bamoroim. Now, what does that mean? Now, let's read the whole paragraph here. Hetiru Ovoitz V'lo Shema Kel. I'm going back to the letter Hey. In this kina, it's based on the Aleph Bey. So towards the beginning of the letter Hey, it says that when the Churban was about to happen, they are called up, they made some emergency phone calls. They took out the red telephone, and they opened up the Rolodex with all the emergency numbers, and they called up the Avos. Hetiru Avos v'lo shamakel. Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov prayed to Hashem, and Hashem said, sorry. Tzoaku van v'lo ano av. The children cried out. Who's that? Who are the children? Who are the children here? I guess the Shvatim, right? If the Avos, they first cried, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, we called them up. We have their telephone number on speed dial. They were Mavakesh Hashem, Ribbono Shalom, calm down. Hashem said, nothing doing. So what was the next plan? Call up Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehudi, Sachar, Binyamin, the whole team. Call up the team. Call them up. They try to do their magic. It didn't work. Next, who's next on deck? Moshe Rabbeinu. He's next on deck. And look how the Python describes Moshe. This is awesome what it says here. How does he describe Moshe Rabbeinu? V'kol hator nishma bamoroim. Who's the Tor? The turtle dove. Who's a turtle dove? What's a turtle dove? This is from Shir HaShirim. This is Shir HaShirim. The kol hator nishma b'yartzein. A very beautiful expression, right? The python here is very poetic. Oh, exactly. And who is the koich of Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu. The kol hator nishma b'maroim. The sound of the koich, this is a code word for Moshe. After the avos did not help us, after the bonim, the shvatim, we went to Moshe Rabbeinu. The kol hator, the sound of tor, is short for Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Moshe who brought down the Torah, nishma, was heard in heaven arguing and fighting and screaming and praying on our behalf. But the Roye Nemon Loihito Oizen. But the Ribbono Shel Olam said no. Our shepherd, who is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, said no. Unbelievable, very poetic. It's unbelievable. Well, one thing that's incredible also about it is that now you can take this and you can extract, go back to Shir HaShirim, and you can understand that when it says the Kol Hator Nishma Biartzenu means the call of Torah. When you walk in the streets of Yerushalayim, what are people talking about? The Daf. Well, you hear what it says in today's Daf? Did you hear what the rabbi said? You know what it says in the parasha? Now you have a beautiful insight into what it means in this pasuk in Shir HaShirim. The kol hator nishma b'yartzeinu, the call of Torah. Instead of hearing about the shtusim v'havolim that you hear about in New York, what's going on, you go to Yerushalayim, the goal is the call of Torah nishma b'yartzeinu. Okay, this is awesome. Okay, awesome stuff over here. The kinos, you have mamas, just hidden golden nuggets. Okay, that concludes kina hey. And then after kina hey is over, they have a nice little prayer, a nice kakasov. We say over here, after when we come over here, after you get to dogim, leler shin, shachachnu shabbos beliboy shayvavim. Okay, there's some more musar. We did not observe Shabbos. Beliboy shavav, the hearts of the shavav, shakai shikach, goes on, tikane litzion kina gedoyla. Okay, then it goes on over here to a bakosha, a very nice kakosuva, yadneviach, lochen koya ma'ashem, shavti l'yushalayim, rachamim, besi yibone bo. No ma'ashem tzivokas, the kov yinot al yushalayim, a surveyor's kov. That's a theme which we have to, I don't know what it means, but that's a theme which appears over Tanakh, the line, the plumb line, the kov. The plumb line. There's something very deep about that, which we have to one day figure out. Okay, then the last pasuk of the is v'nemar ki nicham Hashem tzion nicham kol chor v'yosecha v'yosem midbara ke'eden v'arvosa ke'gan Hashem sasein v'simcha yimotzevav toidov v'kol zimra. We end over the good note, and then we say v'yata kodosh yishayit yilad yishol v'kar yozozev yamar kodosh, kodosh, because why do we say this, Rabbi? So why do we say v'yata kodosh after we finish the kinois? Is because Chazal tell us that the Olam is Niskayim on Kiddusha de Sidra. When Klal Yishol says, Kadosh, 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 Baruch Kivoyr Hashem Mekoymoy, Hashem Yimloich Li Olam Voed, the world exists because of this. So it's very, very critical to say, because now that we have acknowledged that the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed, and we have nothing, so what's keeping the world going? Why does the world continue to turn, to orbit around the sun? What keeps the world going if the world came to an end? If the Beis HaMikdash, the Mokom HaShuas HaShchina, is no longer, we've acknowledged that the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed. How are we alive? Chazal say the Olam is Niskayim in the Zuchus of Kiddusha de Sidra. This is our backup plan. This is our generator. When all of the power lines go down, all we got left is Kiddusha de Sidra, Kadosh, 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 Baruch Kivoid, Hashem Yimloich, with the Aramaic translation, so we fully comprehend what it means. This is Plan B. This is the generator that will keep us going until we get back the Beis HaMikdash. That's why it's critical to say this at this moment in time. And then we mentioned, we say Kaddish without Tiskabel. Why no Tiskabel? We've begun we have begun Tisha B'Av. And Tisha B'Av, Hashem says, no prayers. Sosam tefilasi. I don't want to hear from you tonight. I don't want to hear from you. Sosam tefilasi. So don't say to me tiskabel. If you say tiskabel, that means I'm listening to your prayers. I'm not. So don't say tiskabel in the Kaddish when we finish Viato Kaddish. I always like to say, when you say Kaddish Sholem without a tiskabel, that is exactly a Kaddish Yosoim, an orphan. An orphan says Kaddish. What does the orphan say? He says Kaddish Sholem without tiskabel. So I always like to say, I'm not the only one who says this, is when you say at the end of the Ata Kaddish, Kaddish Sholem b'loy, but without tiskabel, you're saying Kaddish for the Beis HaMikdash. You're saying Kaddish for all the people who died, the Churban of Klal Yisrael, in the last 1,950 years since the Bayis Sheni, and add, what is it, comes out to 2,440 from the Bayis Rishayim. You know how many tsaris we've had? How many people died and suffered? We're saying Kaddish for all of them. It's a communal Kaddish Yosoim. When you say Kaddish Sholem, Beloy Tiskabel. That's what a Kaddish Yosoim is. And it's a Kaddish for Gans Klal Yisrael. And that's it. Aleinu. And then they say the private Kaddish Yosoim. And then, what do you do at night? I don't know what you do at night. What are you supposed to do at night? I guess say Tikkun Chatzos. Is there a din? No, but Lel Pesach. I don't know, Lel Pesach. If you compare Pesach to Tisha B'Av, it says Beferish in the Rambam, you're supposed to stay up the whole night of Pesach discussing Yitzias Mitzrayim. It doesn't say anywhere to stay up the night of Shavuos. Nowhere. Nowhere does it say you should stay up the night of Shavuos. That's a Nayazach, it's a Nayaminag. But it does say in the Rambam that you are obligated. You're supposed to stay up the whole night of Lel Pesach to discuss Yitzias Mitzrayim. By extension, Avyasha Ber Salavetchik, who says that Yitzias Mitzaysi Mitzrayim Mitzaysi Mirusholoyim, we should stay up the whole night discussing the Churban Beis HaMikdash, what it means to us, the significance. Okay, obviously, we don't do that because we're not on that level. But L'chaira, that would be the right thing to do, to stay up the whole night and focus on these things. Okay, the next morning, there's Shacharis. Let's just jump ahead a little bit to Kinevav. Kinevav, okay, I'm not going to go through, we'll have time, we'll come back to some of the right now we're running out of time, so let's just jump ahead. I'm not going to go through now the whole Seder Hayom until we get to the Kinois, but we dive in, a lot of halachas. Basically, the best thing Rabbi Yisai to do is just daven a regular davening. Don't skip any brachas. If you're going to start playing around by skipping brachas, you're going to get all confused, and then you're going to get all messed up. For most of us, just daven a regular davening. You make all the brachas. Some people, they don't want to say this bracha. Don't make the bracha of Teishal B'Sefaro. Don't make the bracha of She'asli Kol Tzarki, Netilas Yadayim. If you're going to start doing those things, you're going to have to be very, very careful to make all the calculations of how to, and it's not necessary. These are minhagim. If it's your minhag, fine. But if it's not your minhag, to start making these complex calculations, if you read the fine print of the Siddurim, it's going to cause more damage to the average person than benefit. So you daven a regular davening with all the brachas, every single bracha you make. And what?
Karbanos also?
Yeah, karbanos, yeah. Don't play around. You can say karbanos. You're not saying it. It's not learning. You can say, just you daven a regular davening like you do every single day. Unless you're on a madrega where you really, these things bother you, it's not necessary. Just follow the script. You don't have to, what it says in the article is not necessarily, you know, I don't even know which edition. They keep on changing the instructions in different editions of article because people complain and they say, you know, it's not really true, this, that. But you can daven a regular davening. You don't say Aneinu in Shemona Esrei. You do not say Nachem. We discussed this. It's not our minhag. You only say Nachem by Mincha. You do not say Aneinu. Only the Shliach Tzibur says Aneinu. And there's no Tachnun, obviously. And the laning, there's laning. And you lane the Haftorah. And the one who gets the Aliyah, the one who gets Shlishi, there's a minhag. This is a halacha. So I think it's been brought down. If you get Shlishi, before you make the bracha, Asher Bochar Banu, you're supposed to say in an undertone, Baruch Dayan Ho'emes. That's what it says. The one who gets Shlishi, before he says Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMevarach, he first says those words, without Shema Malchus. Without Shema Malchus, Baruch Dayan Ho'emes. I guess he represents the whole Tzibur, and he acknowledges. That was the question. How come we don't make a bracha baruch? We do make it. We don't do the Shema Malchus, but that's the correct thing to do, is to say on behalf of the entire Tzibur, the laning of Tisha B'Av is a very frightening laning. We lane from Parshas Vaeschanan, the Parshas HaShavua. We lane about Moshe Rabbeinu's prediction, V'nashantem Ba'aretz. You'll get too comfortable in the land. And it will be a churban. You're going to do averos, and you're going to be exiled. And the words of the laning are not very pleasant. They're very harsh. And before the person takes the aliyah to read, basically it's a teichacha. That's really what it is. It's the laning is a teichacha, and the haftarah is even worse. Okay, the laning is ki soiled banim v'nevanim v'nei shantem ba'aretz v'hishchaten. You will grow corrupt. Va'asisem pesel tumunas kol va'asisem hora. You will do evil b'nei Hashem lokech la'hachisot to anger Hashem. Ha'idoyisim b'chem ha'yabes Hashem v'yes aretz ki avoid tovei dun. You will be destroyed. Okay, this is not good stuff. Before the person hears those words, he says Baruch Dayan Ho'emes on behalf of the entire Tzibur. In the time of Chazal, they would take the Sefer Torah and they would put it on the floor like a dead body. Could you imagine that today? If you put a Sefer Torah on the floor, you have to fast. Well, guess what? We do fast on Tisha B'Av, so it doesn't make a difference anyway. We're anyway fasting. They would literally put the Sefer Torah on the floor like a mace and drape it like a dead body to represent the Torah is the neshama of Klal Yisrael. It is the spirit in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the Torah. The Churban Beis HaMikdash represents Kavi Yachal, the Yitzias Neshama of the Torah. And they would mamish in that, reenact this at Kedei Kach, to take the Sefer Torah and dress it in shrouds and put it on the floor and put candles around it. That's what they did. Today you do this, you're finished. You don't do this today. Today,
how long did they leave it there? Just for the Korea?
I don't know. I don't know. I do not know how long they left it for, but they left it. That's what they did. That's what it says in the big books. That's what it says they did. It's clear. That's what they did. Clear. How long they left it for? I don't know. The whole morning during Kinnis? I don't know. But that's what they did. Today, you don't do this today. Today, you do this, you're done. Okay, we don't do this. We take off the paroiches, and you say on the Sefer Torah, Baruch Dayanu Emes, and then they lay in the Haftorah. The Haftorah, this year, the Haftorah is very, very spooky, for us especially. Because what is there in the Haftorah? Talk about meaning things relevant to the times. It says in the Haftorah, Hatzari ein begilad, im rofei ein sham. Is there no, sorry is medicine. It means some type of spice, but it's always used in Chazal to refer to medication. Is there no medicine in Gilad? And Gilad is a code word for Eretz Yisrael. Corona is just free to do whatever it wants. Is there no medicine available in Gilad? Im rofei ein shama, there are no doctors who know how to deal with this? Ki madua loy olasa aruchas basani. Why haven't my people been healed? Why did it not ascend the healing of my people? I mean, how relevant could these words be this year than ever? And then it says, Mi yitein reshimayim, the eini mekar dim, if only my head is water, the eyes, they are spring of tears. The evke yoimam v'layla, es chalalei vasami, the dead of my people. How many people this year are not around, who were here last year? Al derech hateva, they would have been here. I know Mark had a whole issue over here with some of the things I said yesterday about dying before your time. But Rabbi Yisrael, derech hateva, the people who died from Corona, they would have been alive this year. There's no reason why they shouldn't be here this year with us. These are the chalalei vasami. And then there's something even more scary, where it says in the Haftarah, some really scary stuff. Let me find it. I can't find it. All right, careful. Let's go further.
The idea of a silent killer.
A silent killer. Okay, let's go. Let's go now. Kinevav, right? I'm running out of time. Very quick. Kinevav. The first sign of Kinevav is the beginning of Kinevav is just shocking for this year. Shavas. What does Shavas mean? Shavas. It all came to an end. All the Bate Kinesios, Bate Midrashos shut down. All schools shut down. Businesses shut down. The economy shut down. Baseball. No more baseball this year. The whole baseball season. Everything shut down. Shavas. It all came to an end. When you walk in the streets, what do people look? What do they say to you? They look at you. Sudumeni. Go away from me. Stay away. You're a carrier. You're gonna kill me. Don't look at me. Don't talk. Don't breathe on me. Suru many shimuni oivrai. The people who I passed in front of when I walk on the street, they walk to the other side of the street. I told you, it used to be when I walked down, someone's coming with a dog, a big, big dog coming this way. I can't stand these big dogs. The little dogs, okay, but the big dogs that look like horses, I just can't deal with. So I go to the other side of the street when I see the big dogs, they look like horses coming my way. I'm too scared of them. And this time, unbelievable, you know what I'm walking, and the guy was walking down with his dog, and he sees me coming, and he goes to the other side of the street. Why? Why does he go? Because he thinks I'm going to kill him, because I'm a carrier. Sudu many, 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 shimuni oivrai. Stay away from me. It's unbelievable what it says here in the Kinnis this year. And then when you go to Bible, listen, the kinnis is divided primarily into two parts. There is all of the kinnis until, what's going on over here? One second. The first section of kinnis are all the horrors. Then we get to kina lamed vav, tzion. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, we come to the positive elements. All the keenness of the day are divided into two parts. The horror of the past, and then a positive outlook for the future. The future, the beauty of Tzion. There are nine keenness at the end that begin with Tzion. Nine keenness. The Tisha Yarchileda, ending with Elitzion, the Orecha Kumo Isha Vitzirecha. Nine Tzions. Tisha Yachileda ends off with the birth. Mashiach, Geula. Nine Tzions. All the nine Tzions have in common. It describes the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. A positive outlook towards Eretz Yisrael. But until you get to Tzions, they're all gloom and doom. The first opening line of gloom and doom is Shavas. The world came to an end. Suru many shimuni oivrai. What's the opening line of the positive element of the kinos, the last nine? Tzion. Haloi sishali. Will you not seek out the good and welfare of l'shloim asirayich, of your prisoners? Now, I know the word prisoner is a very harsh word, but when you're in quarantine and you're sheltered in place and you're not allowed to go anywhere, it's not exactly a prison. You have Baruch Hashem, you have food and entertainment and air conditioning and creature comforts, plumbing and washing machine, but you're confined. You're confined. You're locked up. You're locked up at home. You're a prisoner. You're not a prisoner. You have to be very careful to be put everything in perspective. But you're a prisoner. Quarantine. Meshuggah. Go out of your mind when you're locked up. Tzion. Haloi sishali. Aren't you going to do something for us? Aren't you going to seek out the welfare? You're going to seek out l'shloim, the peace and good welfare, asirayich, of your people, Klal Yisrael, who are sheltered in place. They're restricted, they're confined in their homes and are unable to achieve their full potential by going out into the world and accomplishing. Tzion, help us out. That's the opening line of the second half of Kinos. And the opening line of the first part of Kinos is Shavas. The world came to an end. Suru meni Shemuni Avrai. I mean, Kinos this year is just like a whole new world. It's like the Kalir, Yehuda Halevi, they wrote it just for us in our generation. And it's very frightening. I'll leave you with one last thing over here. What time is it? One last thing about, I have this belief. This is maybe, we did this last year in Kina and Kina. We spent a lot of time last year. I don't know if we're going to have time to do it this year. On Kina, Chof, Rabbi Chol's favorite Kina. Kina, Chof, Ches. Kina 24. Kina 24 is the Dalid Malchias. When the Kaliri goes through the four kingdoms. But then after he finishes the Dalid Malchias, he keeps on going. He just keeps on going. And if you read the words, it's like he had Ruach HaKodesh. The Kalir, when did he live? No one really knows. He probably lived, probably the best estimate, he lived, let's say, before Rashi. He lived, let's say, in the 10th century, the 9th century, something like that, 9th, 8th, 9th, 10th century. And he knew what's going on in 2020 because he writes about the whole history. There appears to be a style in this. I'm telling you a chiddush, an idea. There appears to be in the kinos of the Kalir a style where he, in the beginning or 80% of the kina, he clearly defines what he's talking about, and then he gets to a certain point, and it becomes very abstract. And I personally believe it was done by design, that the abstraction at the end of many of his kinos are there. You fill in the dots. I'm going to write a kino to reflect upon history, but history is not over yet. I'm going to write a template. I'm going to write words, and you're going to see that in my words, in every generation, the whole dor v'dor, you're going to be able to take the words at the end of that, the end of my kino, and you're going to be able to plug in your current situation to the kina, to have the words to mourn and reflect over what's taking place, current events in every generation. So that's why in Kina Chof Ches, he goes through world history, and then we're done. And what's the rest? These are raw words. Kalir, I'm giving you raw words. Look at your generation. Look at the problems that you have. You're probably living at a time where there are people that are not capable of expressing themselves with eloquence and sanctity that is necessary. So I'll give you the words, and my words will be such that you'll be able to see in every generation, you'll be able to plug in your situation to those words. Now, I believe the same thing is definitely true for the first kina of the day. The first kina, we don't have running out of time, but it's basically, there's a lot to talk about, but basically there are eight letters, the last eight letters of the Aleph Beis, and the Kalir, he basically describes our suffering, and if you look very carefully, there's on the third line of every section is one of the seven Mikdashos. Klal Yisrael in the Midbar had the Mishkan. So on the third line of the kina of Shavas, you'll see the word Mishkan. Sakoisa Mishkan Misakois Divira. You Hashem, you covered yourself, you sheltered yourself, that you should not listen to our prayers. But the Kalir cleverly put the word Mishkan to allude to the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu. In the next letter, Nun, in the third line, it says Gilgal. After the Mishkan, the Shechina rests in Gilgal for 14 years. Go to the next letter, is Shiloh for 369 years. After the next letter, we'll come to the Tzadi, Noiv, come to the Kuf, the third line, it's Givon. Come to the letter Resh, it says Be'i Vuyach. That's the equivalent word, that's the third line. Iva L'moshav Loi. It says in the Pasuk in the HaKadosh Baruch had a yearning to dwell, referring to the Bayis Rishon. Come to the letter Shin, Dvir. Dvir is another word for the Beis HaMikdash. The Dvir Kodshoi, the Bayis Sheni. So what have we done over here? We've gone through the seven Mikdashos. The Mishkan of Moshe, Mishkan Gilgal, Shiloi, Noiv, Givon, Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni. Right? Chazal tell us there were seven different mekoymos where Hashem rested his Shechina. Mishkan, Gilgal, Shiloh, Noiv, Givon, Bayis Rishon, Ivuyoch, Ivol L'moshev Loi, and Devir Kodshoi, Bayis Sheni. But we're not done yet. There's one more paragraph. The letter Tess. What's that for? What? Vav, Kinavav. 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 Here's this one more.
Tough, right?
Tough. What's that referring to? After the Bayis Sheni, we're done. This is where the Kalir, this is his style. I've gone through history. Tov is for you. It's for you, Klal Yisrael. I'm not going to be alive when Tov is going to happen. I want to give you words that you can use to relate to your generation. And every generation, you'll be able to take the words in Tov, extract these words and use these words as a tool to express yourself in your matzav. And every generation will work. Trust me, it'll work in every generation. It's written with Ruach HaKodesh. So what is the equivalent word for Mishkan, Gilgal, Shiloi, Noiv, Givon, Ivuyach, Devir? What's the word? Tzifunecha. That's the word. That's the third line. The third line of Tav is Tirdef Litzalmoin, drive away to the shadows of darkness, Yoytze al Tzifunecha. Tzifunecha. That's the equivalent. Now, isn't it very interesting? You can write a whole PhD on the different words that are used in society to describe what we call quarantine. It became a very nice word now, quarantine. Not everyone likes that word. Go in the dictionary. Some, you listen to the news, some say shelter in place. That really is not a right. That you know, that word, that refers to when there's an active shooter. When there's an active shooter, then you shelter in place. So you're calling Corona an active shooter, you shelter in place. There's confinement. Some people even use the word detention. That's a pretty harsh word for quarantine. Detention, confinement, isolation, shelter in place, quarantine. I don't know. You go figure out. You go to the thesaurus, you'll find me a whole Megillah. And guess what? That's only in English. Now go to France, see how they refer to it. Go to Mexico, go to the North Pole, learn all the languages, you'll come up with probably hundreds, if not thousands, of words, the way mankind, now a generation, are referring to this concept of stay home, stay home. The Kalir also has a word to stay home. when you don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Tzifunecha. Tzofun. You're tucked away. You're put away. Tzofun. What does tzofun mean? It's put away for later. Here we're describing the seven mikdashos. We're now in a matzav of where our mikdash me'at is closed, and we are tzofun. And the word tzofun is a very powerful word, because it's telling us, don't think just because the Beis HaMikdash is shut down that bottle or mavotel. When you're at home, it's like you take the matzah, yachatz, you break the matzah and you wrap it up in a beautiful garment and you give it to the children. It's precious. It's set aside for tzofun, what comes later. The word for quarantine in the kinois is tzofun. And we have to use the experience to grow the same way at the Seder, Betzeisim in Mitzrayim, Betzeisim in Yerushalayim, the same way the matzah that's set aside for tzofun is cherished. It's given to the children to guard. They get a reward. It's wrapped in a beautiful shmata. It's wrapped in a beautiful... it's an opportunity. We're home now. We're not fully functional in society. But it's not a waste. It's a time to sanctify Hashem's name no less than the Mishkan, than Gilgal, than Shiloh, than Noiv, and Givon, and the Bayis Rishon, and the Bayis Sheni. Being tzofun in your home is an opportunity to grow in Yiras Shamayim and Ruchnius. Okay, tomorrow, I don't think we're going to learn tomorrow Navi. I think tomorrow we'll spend the whole day on Kinois. Okay, we'll spend the whole day. It's the last day before Tisha B'Av. We'll take a break in the middle, so no one should get too overwhelmed. But we'll stop here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with Kina Zion. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai. My pleasure. Bruchim to you.
Have a nice day, everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Tzafut. Tzafut is all over the place. Tzafut is sagur. Tzafut is spread. Okay.
All right. Have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai. Be well. Everyone be well. Take care. Mr. Horowitz, how are you doing? How are you?
Baruch Hashem. So I'll tell you a little bird I saw in the mini Shaltaira.